I'm embarrassed to say I've done.
I was drifting through this life with no purpose. But God saw me differently.
And now I'm changed in the best way.
I have become permanently marked.
I am new.
All right, you know we got to get excited today. So fist bumps by around. Let them know you're happy they're here. Now, everybody else around you, let them know where you're going to get your tattoo, as you saw in the video. We have the tattoo artist in the back. We're going to go ahead and get branded today. Nobody's excited about that. That's okay. All right. Hey, guys, I'm excited about this series as we get to dive in, because this time of year, isn't it really crazy how we, like, get to this time of year and the season of change where we celebrate this one-year trip around the sun, right? Like, we get around the sun, realize the seasons are changing. Even though the days were on the march towards spring, they're a little bit longer. A couple weeks ago, they were a little bit shorter. But this time of year, don't we always like take inventory of what's going on? Like, we talked about it a little bit last week in our EFAM Sunday, but like, this time of year, don't we just try to take inventory? And I think that there's good things in that. I think that there's times that we need to do that because we're in a season of change. But yet at the same time, how many folks usually keep their resolution? Hands up everywhere. We're 100%. But really, I don't either. Like, the average resolution, I don't know if you know this, I was looking this up. The average resolution is about 12 days. So this time next week, when we gather again, you will probably have broken your resolution. So I'm going to go ahead and give you freedom in that. You go ahead and figure that out, whatever that is. If you have a New Year's resolution, you're probably standing strong right now. This time next week, more than likely, you're actually probably going to have that done, and you're going to be starting something brand new. Or maybe you're like me, and in the middle of December, you said, hey, I'm going to do this year for New Year's, and January 1st rolled around, you forgot to write it down or do it. So whatever that looks like for you, it made me think about this as we crank out this new series, because so we celebrate this one revolution around the sun, and we celebrate this time of year, and we talk about this season of new. I just always said, have you ever thought about why? Why do we do it year after year? Like, how many folks do resolutions every year? Even though you didn't do it last year, or you maybe didn't complete it, we continue to do it year after year. Most of the time, we try to write resolutions like, this is the year of you. Now, I want to date myself like I remember. Not date myself. That's a series later. But I'm going to put age myself, as I guess I should say. And I remember watching Seinfeld growing up, and, you know, like, this is the year of George. Like, I don't know if you remember that or not, if that makes you excited or not. I'm sorry, but there's probably a meme or a GIF out there, whatever that looks like, that works. But wherever you are on that, it made me think of that. But you see, the reason we do this every year is transformation's in our DNA. Like, it's something we want. We want to change. There's something ingrained in us that says we're supposed to be eternally changing. We're supposed to be moving forward. We're supposed to be growing. And over these next few weeks, that's exactly what we're going to talk about, because all of us have that inside of us. But the thing is, the things that grow us the most are the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporal, that are of this world. And so our soul is marked eternally by things that change us, okay? So over these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that change. And today, what I just want to talk to you about is this thing called picking change. Picking change. Not picking your nose. Picking change. So hang in there. Picking change. Because the thing about change is we've got to pick it before we can ever really step into it. We've got to understand that we all have that in us. So maybe today, this message could be for you. This message could be for a friend you meet this week at school, or a friend you meet this week at work that's talking about how they want some change in their life. Or maybe you're watching right now online, and I just want to let you know, wherever you are, it's no accident that you're watching right now, because maybe you're struggling with trying to pick change. So we say this every week. Believe it or not, we're only going to be in a few places of Scripture. But this week, as we do every week, if you've got your phone, you've got your Bible app on your phone, we're going to have this up on the Bible app. I'm going to show you how to get there once again each and every week. We do this every week. So if you want to go and open up the Bible app, you're going to see we're in Acts 3 today. I'm going to show you how to get there on your phone. You click the More tab. And once you click the More tab, you're going to click on Events. There we go. I'm getting there. I'm slow. It's that 3G service. I'm supposed to be 5G. That's what it is. You're going to click the More tab, click Events, make sure your location services is on. You're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. When you click there, you're going to see today's message, Picking Change. You're going to see information on how to reach us, contact us, ways that you can keep up with us. But more importantly, You're going to find ways that you can take notes and follow along with Scripture today. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be in Acts 3, and we're just going to go right in. So are you ready? So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get the book of Acts 3. Get your Bible app ready. Whatever it takes for you to get there, we're going to dive right in. We're going to be in Acts 3, verse 1, excuse me, through 11. We're just going to go ahead and dive in there. So, everybody with me? Tough crowd. We're tired today. I can tell. It's okay. Everybody's got this flu madness running around. I can tell. By the way, you're going to get it if you're watching online, too. You're welcome. That's just how we roll. So, here we go. Acts 3, verse 1 through 11. One day. So, if you got your Bible, I circled that. One day. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So, really quickly, right now what's happening is in Jewish culture and in this time, they would go to the temple to pray three times a day, okay? So what would happen is David started doing that. We see that, as a matter of fact. We know about Daniel in the lion's den. We know what happened there. And he started that custom to continue to pray three times a day. So Peter and John are just doing what they do every day. One day, they came to the temple to pray at 3 in the afternoon. So maybe today is your one day, and you're just trying to go through the motions and just get through the day. Know that today, even though it's a normal day for you, that's something extraordinary can happen. Something supernatural can happen because it's inside of that normal that God does something new. So understand, Peter and John are there at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame, you ever just felt lame? I've been called lame, but I haven't been lame. This man was crippled. Maybe I am lame. It is what it is. But like, if you ever just felt that way, maybe you get ready to go things and you feel lame. Maybe there's something in your life you feel crippled in. Maybe there's something in your life you feel beat down about, something in your life that will never change because you've always had it. That's how this man felt. There was someone who was lame from birth, and he was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. See, what I love about this is we keep on, and we're going to power through it, I promise. I'll get to the message sometime about 3:30 today. Really, we're going to power through. What I love about this is his friends, didn't take him to the grocery store. They didn't put him to the busiest intersection. As a matter of fact, they didn't put him outside of a local restaurant. They brought him to the temple courts to beg because they said if the people of God have God on their mind, there's no way that our friend won't have his needs supplied. Wouldn't it be great to be known as a church like that? I love that we are a church that's very generous and believes in that, but I want you to know today, maybe that's where you are and you feel like you only belong outside the temple courts. I'm going to tell you, it's time for you to come in. Don't be waiting outside anymore. Even though the people of God have you in mind and they love you and they want to give you something that's great, you're going to see what Peter and John has. There's something greater than us that you can be found inside of here. So wherever you are, maybe you've got friends right now. I think it's cool that if you bring them to church, you may not know what's happening, but understand it's not up to you what's going to happen. Jesus is going to do what only he can do. And I love that his friends carried him, it said, daily outside the temple courts. That's what we're supposed to be known as, guys. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what we're walking through, no matter how crazy things can be, when we bring people to Jesus, he's going to do something crazy. As a matter of fact, he's going to make them new, as we're going to get to here in a little bit. So I love that they're at a gate which aptly is named Beautiful. Would you say this man had a beautiful life? I'd say it was literally, he was a lame man from birth. I bet his life probably was not beautiful. As a matter of fact, it's no coincidence that it happened outside of this temple gate called Beautiful. So he was put there every day to beg. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Isn't it great when you come into the house of God or you're even right outside the gates that if you come with expectation that you're going to get something from it, that I promise you, you're going to walk away with something from it? If you'll just trust that, even this man who is a lame beggar, who has no positive outlook in life, knows that when he comes inside or close to the house of God, he's going to expect something from it. So if we walk in with expectation that Jesus is going to do something, it may not be what we thought we want, but I promise you it's going to be something that's amazing. That's what this man's about to walk into. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." Now, have you ever had somebody asking for money and you don't give them what they want? Does that usually go well? Like, I'm thinking of Peter and John right here, and I'm wondering how this could turn really crazy in this story, how this could get really out of hand, because I've been on both ends of that when you don't give someone what they want inside of this. But the man's still paying attention. It says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet. He began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them to the place called Solomon's Colonnade. So today, as we get to talk about this thing called picking change, it just made me think about where we are, and I thought about this story, because if there's anyone that can say they were made new in this story, I could say that probably this lame beggar has been made new, hasn't he? Like, a matter of fact, he's never walked his entire life, but all of a sudden, Peter and John come, and he's just living a normal day. Peter and John are just living a normal day, but something supernatural happened, so much so that he was made new and was eternally changed. He was marked by something that changed him eternally. As a matter of fact, when you're marked by something that changes you eternally, you can't help but have people around you be filled with wonder and amazement. So the reason that I talked to you about resolutions to begin with, and I wanted to ask you where your resolutions were, is I want you to think back to your last resolutions, because we've already crossed off this year's list. Like, think back to resolutions past, and I just want you to go ahead and have in your mind what those were. Got a few of them in your head, maybe one sticking out that you had. Maybe it was to lose weight. Maybe it was to get in shape. Maybe it was to have better friendships. Maybe it was to have better finances. Maybe it was to have better clothes. I don't know. Whatever that New Year's resolution was, a new haircut, better glasses, whatever that looks like for you, think about that. And I just want to ask you this, and I want you to hang in here with me. Maybe that resolution didn't happen because you were thinking too small. Maybe it was too small. You know, if you want to lose weight, that is amazing. There's nothing wrong with losing weight. I think that's incredible. As a matter of fact, I got to jump on that train. I understand that's important to physically take care of yourself. But I've seen time after time, person after person say they want to lose weight, and they've gone from an obsession and an idol of food to an obsession and an idol of working out and worshiping their body. So they swapped idols instead of understanding that there was something more at work. So maybe your resolution, maybe you want to get out of debt and you say, hey, I just want to get out of debt. Well, I wonder, I've seen time after time, there are people who have fought to get out of debt and their greed grew so much that all they cared about was getting that next dollar after they got out of debt instead of seeing what they could do with it. Maybe their goal was too small. Maybe it was relationships. Maybe someone said, if I could just have this one relationship work out in my life. Maybe you're single, you're trying to figure that out. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks a little bit, you're trying to work that out, and you're trying to put all your faith and all your hope in the relationship with the person around you. And I've seen person after person swap that idol for Jesus being the center of their life. And I'm telling you, maybe your resolution's just too small. What if your resolution this year was something eternal? What if your resolution this year was something that lived beyond you? What if it was something that changed people that you came in contact with each and every day? Makes writing down those 5 pounds a little bit different, right? It makes getting out of debt just a little bit different. And I know I'm speaking in the room, and I know most of us here in the room, and I know that we understand what it means to be radically changed and live a transformed life and to live a new life. But I wonder if those we come in contact every day would know what that new life looked like. I wish I could tell you time and time again that everyone I came in contact with knew that new life that I'd have in Christ Jesus. But I wonder if this year my resolution would just to be one step closer to Jesus so that the world could see him more clearly. That's a goal worth going after. That's a resolution that's going to take more than a year to probably get through. And I promise you, if I do that, then the finances will work out. The physics will work out, the working out, the physical fitness will work out, the relationships will work out, the career will work out. Everything will work out if I just trusted and did that. So this year, as we pick change, I'm wondering if we would look at our resolution and say, maybe our thinking's too small. Maybe it needs to be something greater. Hey, maybe Jesus is putting something specific on your heart. That's cool. Go for that. But for me, I know this year, I just want to be one step closer to him, whatever that looks like. However that looks like, and the rest will shake out the way it's supposed to. Because I look at Peter and John in this story, and I look at this lame beggar, and that's exactly what happened. They each took a next step. because they decided to pick change. So the first thing I want to share with you today is the change you need might not be the change you want. The change you need might not be the change you want. Like I said, a lot of us have resolutions as we go through this time of year, and that's a change we want, right? Like, we may want to change something about how we look. We want to change something about our bank account or our relationships, or maybe want a new car. I don't know what that looks like. Whatever that is, that's the change you want. And when I look at this story, I pick up verse 5, and it says this, after Peter and John came to this man, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. The change he wanted from them was the change that could get him through the day. He was just trying to survive. He was at a place where he was saying, the change that I need is just enough to go get food today. My friends have to carry me everywhere they go. Maybe he had to buy their food to get him there and get him back. I don't know what kind of fuel camels take. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know if it's super unleaded hay they eat or whatever they eat or whatever that looks like. Or maybe he just had to give them food to eat so that they could literally carry him on a mat. I don't know what that looked like. But he was just looking. The change he wanted was just to get through the day. And Peter looks at him and says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You see, I wonder if that lame man ever thought about walking. He probably gave up that resolution a long time ago. He was born not being able to walk. He thought, I'm probably just going to always be this way. So for me, the change that I want, man, as I hope maybe Peter and John can give me 2 days worth of change, and that'll get me through. But yet all of a sudden, instead of the change he wanted, he received through Christ Jesus the change he needed. Not only did he get more than he ever bargained for by being able to walk, he changed everyone around him. You see, I love this story because I look at Peter and John, and growing up, I can tell you, as I've got to step into leadership in the church, people always said, you're like Peter. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm sure there are some good traits because that means I can walk on water. It hadn't worked yet. I've tried. It hadn't worked. I sink every time. It is what it is. When I go to the Dead Sea, we'll figure that out and I'll float. But at that moment in time, I've been told that. And the thing I love about Peter is Peter's just bold. He's brash. He's hard-headed. He has to learn by doing. If you know anything about Tyler West, unfortunately, most of the time, I read a lot of books, but I'm hard-headed enough. I just have to get in there and mess up before I can figure out how to move forward. That's just how I roll. Maybe that's you today. Hey, John is it's so funny that Peter and John were always together because, you see, Jesus always sent people out two by two. They always had relationships with them. So wherever you are today, if you're trying to do things alone, realize you can always do life better together. You're always meant to have someone with you. Jesus always knew we would need that. So whatever you're doing today, go two by two. Because Peter and John being there made all the difference. See, John is the beloved. So if you know anything about Tyler West, the funny thing is I've been called Peter, but John's my favorite gospel. Isn't that nuts? John's my favorite gospel because Peter and John are polar opposites. John has compassion. John is loving. John's the one who stood at the foot of the cross and Jesus said, here's my mom. She's now your mom. Like, take care of her. They had elder care together. They just said, take care of her. They took care of that. So Peter and John are there. And what I love about this story, how Jesus is showing me through resolutions and why relationships matter, people being in your life so much, is Acts 3 could have been something different. If it was just Peter, he saw the temple. I roll like Peter. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna be late to pray. God's gonna be mad at me. I gotta go pray. Like, he would have walked right past the beggar. If it was just John, he would have been like, this man needs help. Should I talk to him or not? Like, I love him. I'm going to go pray for him inside the place. But Peter and John together all of a sudden do something great. And this is something I want to ask you. See, like I said, Peter wanted to do something. John wanted to say something. John saw the beggar. Peter saw the temple as he was going to pray. But yet both of them did something that's radically different this year if you want to take a next step with Christ. They saw a need. I wonder how many times I don't see a need because I'm texting on my phone. I wonder how many times I walk past people and I can't see what's going on in their life because I'm like Peter. I'm a doer. So I miss the need. The difference is if I see the need, holy crap, I'll do everything I can to go fulfill it and ask Jesus what he would have me do in it. That's just how I'm wired. But it makes me realize how many times in our life do we not see the need? Do we not even notice the need? Because here's the thing I love about our church. We're thankful for the need. We've given. God has allowed us to give like never before. We're a generous church. We believe in pointing people to Jesus. And I love that about what we do. We have people who load in and load out every week, who practice things all week and make it sound so much better than me being a dog barking over on the side. And I always check to make sure my microphone's not on, because if somebody hears me, I'm going to be like, something's going on, right? Like, we have people who are obedient to what God's calling them to do and believing that something crazy awesome is going to happen, but they see a need. And the need in our community is Jesus. Over 100,000 people inside of Spartanburg County don't have a church home. I mean, don't go to church. That's crazy. That's a need that we get to see. And we may think in our job every day that seems so mundane and maybe something that we hate, that those people don't need Jesus. But when we change our perspective and we understand it's not those people, it's us. They're all us that they matter. We can pick change that is eternal. We can pick change that actually makes a difference. Because if we see the need in others, you see, we got to look at the need in ourselves first. How many of us see the need that we have inside of us over a want? What I mean by that is, when I read the Bible growing up, I've seen you guys, I know most of your story, you read the Bible, did it say that God would give you all your wants? Or God would give you all your needs? He would fulfill all of your needs. So I'm looking at this beggar, and I'm seeing he's got some wants in his life. Peter just wants to pray. John just wants to pray for him. And this beggar just wants to get through the day. But all of a sudden, there is a change that is needed because they saw the need inside of the beggar, because Peter and John knew what they needed inside themselves. So this man, all of a sudden, I just wondered what kind of change he continued to need. How many times did he go down to that temple gate asking for change and celebrate one day's worth of change? Just for a few little pennies to rub together, just to buy the meal. Alms, by the way, is what it's called. 2.5% of your income is what was expected to be given at the temple courts when you went there to get his alms. But instead, he got transformational change. Because you see, what would happen is, I started thinking about this, and this is, I actually had a great question a few weeks ago at our greenhouse gathering asking about this. Said, hey, I know this person, and they're, I know they need money, and I know I have $20 in my pocket, so I just want to give it to them. Am I being obedient or disobedient to God? And I went back to this story. And I know that God supplies what we need. He fulfills our needs. And I'm pretty sure Peter and John might have had some change to give this man. You see, they knew that that change would only last him for a day. It wouldn't stick. That's how our resolutions are when we think small. Because the change that this man needs, the change that this man needs is a relationship with the Savior. And so when we had this conversation at our greenhouse gathering, my question was this, because it's always asked to me, and it's the hardest question that someone ever asked me. What is Jesus telling you to do? Well, I think I'm supposed to give it. Is Jesus telling you to give it? Because if Jesus isn't telling you to give it, you're robbing yourself and that person of a blessing. That's where this lame man was. Peter and John could have taken the easy way out, thrown a few cents to the guy, rode on, prayed, checked that box off their list, and went about their day. But instead, they understood there was something greater at work here. They saw the need. And so this man sees his life transformationally changed for it. So this year, I just want to ask you, what's the change you need to make? What kind of change inside of you is needed outside of the change that you want? Because I bet if you're asking for your wants, you're frustrated at God because it seems like it never happens. God, I want this. I want that brand new shiny plane in the front yard. I want this brand new shiny pool in the backyard. I want this brand new house. I want this. But is it what you need? Is that what you need? So this year, as you're trying to have these resolutions and you're living this new life, I'm asking you, do you know if it's the change you want or the change you need that you're walking in? Because sometimes the change you need might not be the change you want. Because here's the thing I also want to remind you of, and God's been reminding me of, so I'm very sorry. I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget. That's the Peter in me. Sorry. Would you trust that every person you run into over this next week is a divine appointment and is someone who needs to see Jesus in a new way? Not that they need your money. Not that they need your time. Not that they need your words, not that they need what you can do, they just need to see Jesus. And would you trust that he's placed them in front of you so that he can meet that need? or do you want to go around trying to fill it on your own? This week, I would ask you, hey, trust Jesus that every appointment is divine. Number two, healthy habits lead to holy moments. Healthy habits lead to holy moments. I told you at the beginning, Acts 3, verse 1 says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Just one day. Wasn't a special day. Wasn't like it was Passover. It wasn't like it was a special celebration. It was Wednesday. I don't know. Maybe it was just some crazy day in the middle of the week, but one day. And you see, Luke is writing this in Acts. So Luke is a doctor. So Luke is very detail-oriented. We can even see that and how the man is healed. We can see how he even talks about how his ankles got strength and all this crazy stuff because that's just how Luke rolls. He's super detailed. And he even puts one day. The most detailed of them all is putting one day. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Made me think, as we're getting ready for these things, I wonder how many times we just ask God to mail in a miracle. Isn't that what we do? We don't want to go through the one day, time after time after time after time after time again. We want to see the lame man healed every day, don't we? Like, we get in this season where we want to mail in the miracle. We don't want to go through the season and the days that it happens. As a matter of fact, as I was thinking through this, it made me think football. It's playoff time. I'm sorry, and I'm a football guy. I have not got to watch much football this year. I got to see a little bit of it last night at an awesome place, an awesome gathering I got to be at. And inside of that, it made me think, how many of us want to make the game-winning touchdown in front of 10,000 people? But we don't want to put in the 10,000 reps of practice that it took to make that one catch. I'm going to say that again so you can catch that. See what I did there? How many of us want to make that game-winning touchdown in front of 10,000 people, but we don't want to put in the 10,000 reps it took to make that one catch to get there? So in other words, what I'm telling you is Peter and John realize that there are seasons that are happening. They have to have holy habits day in and day out. So over this next year, I wonder if we're picking change, if we would understand that, hey, maybe you say, I want to read my Bible this year. I read it all the time, and I just don't get anything out of it. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I do the same thing. There are days when I'll go 30 days reading my Bible, and I'm like, Jesus, Leviticus is cool, but whew, come on, man. Like, I got that one cool chapter, but I couldn't get anything else out of it. And then I get to day 30, and I celebrate that mountaintop experience, and that's where we all want to be. We want to get day 30 on day one. But here's the thing I want to tell you. Stop celebrating day 30. Celebrate all 30 days, because you never would have got to the 30th day if you didn't do the other 29 before it to even get there. So we as Christians understand that there are seasons that we pick change, and we're willing to put in the reps. Even when the lame man isn't healed in front of our eyes and it takes years to see it, as a matter of fact, it takes eternity to see it, we're willing to put the reps in with our holy habits. In other words, we're willing to put Jesus at the center of all that we do day in and day out and aren't afraid of the result because we understand it's not up to us for the result. We just have to continue day in and day out to put it in there. I'm not talking about grinding so you can check a box off a list. I'm talking about understanding the need inside of you, the need inside of others, and having a holy habit of diving in. So this past week, we started a Bible reading plan. Maybe you didn't get a chance to do that. It's a five-day plan. We still have it up on our website at thevine.tv/reading-plan. That's how I roll. Got the hand motions in there. We brought it back to youth camp. If you're ready, you know, you know. So we got the hand motions in there. thevine.tv/reading-plan. It's a five-day plan that you can just jump in and kickstart your Bible reading. And then you continue the habit. Dive in. Jump in there. Hey, you may be praying for the same thing day after day after day. Ask Jesus what the need is in your life to be filled. Jump in step by step by step and keep putting one foot in front of the other. And don't worry about why you can't see the lame man healed, because there were other people that passed this lame man that had Jesus in their heart and Jesus in their life, and it wasn't their appointment to heal that man, to point him to Jesus right there at that moment. It was Peter and John's. So would you be willing to put in those reps, to put in those work, to do that? Because here's what I would tell you. Maybe this year You want to commit, and I would ask you, even if you would like to commit to meet with God's people consistently. Maybe you can't make it on Sunday. Maybe you're watching this on a Tuesday at 1 in the afternoon, and that's awesome. That's awesome. We're so thankful, so thankful, honestly, that you're taking time to hang out with us. We're honored because we're going to lift Jesus' name high, and we believe that you're going to get something better out of this than we ever could. But maybe Sunday's not your day, but you can make Thursday happen. Come hang out with us at our Thursday night greenhouse gathering. Seriously, it's at 6:25 every week. We have food, just like Sunday mornings. We have food at 9:30. You have food before a gathering? Man, it's crazy what goodness can happen. Everybody's all full and ready to go, and then they get filled up with a word. If you can make Thursday night, email us at hello@thevine.tv. We would love to get you there. Hey, maybe you can't make it. I want you to know that we still put it up on our group, what we talked about that night. We try to record it. Badly, I must say I do, but we try to record it so that you can hear it. But there's ways that you can have community. And as we go out throughout the year, maybe you want to be a group leader or you would like to have a group at your house. Let us know. We'd love to get resources in your hand to do that. But here's the thing. You got to put in the reps. You can't just say you're going to go somewhere and then not do it and expect God to mail you the miracle and be a part of it. It just doesn't work that way. We can't just say that we're meeting at the Y on Sunday morning and then show up here at 10 o'clock and hope that it's put together and hope that stuff's up. Oh, we hope. I mean, we have the Jesus, we put the trailer in the back full of the stuff. I don't know why you didn't unload it, God. Like, we put in the reps. We're willing to do that. So I would say if you're committed to God's people, maybe Thursday night can happen. If it can't, check out our Facebook page. Become a part of our group. You can see what we talked about. Go to thevine.tv. Jump into that reading plan. See what you can do and watch what God will do with it, because your healthy habits will lead to holy moments. Because if Peter and John didn't pray every day, 3 in the afternoon never would have happened. It never would have happened. Day after day after day after day. As a matter of fact, the church has just grown to 3,000. So Peter and John are on this mountaintop. And they probably could have looked at this lame man and said, I can't do nothing with him. Are you just going to lay at the gate every day and beg? Pick yourself up. Do something for yourself. But no, they saw the need and they continued to jump in and said, God, what would you have me do? And they pointed him straight to Jesus. And I love that Peter doesn't take the credit for this. As a matter of fact, Peter, being Peter, is awesome. He seizes an opportunity to say, hey, here's a moment that I can point everybody to Jesus. It said in verse 11 that the man locked his arms around him and hung on to Peter and John. And Peter drops the gospel. He straight up points to Jesus and everything he does in this moment. And if he wasn't having the healthy habit of going to the temple every day, as a matter of fact, if the people that were in the temple didn't have a healthy habit, they would have missed out on the holy moment too. So I'm telling you, maybe this year is the year that you can commit to taking a next step closer to Jesus, and it might be found in committing to being with God's people more. Doesn't mean that you can't be hanging out with anybody else. I'm not putting a restriction. I'm not sitting here telling you, you can't be friends with this person, you can't be friends with that person. I'm telling you, when you're in the habit of getting with God's people, you will leave encouraged. And the thing we believe about Greenhouse is it's not the message. Trust me, it's not the message that gets there. We know that we're going to point to Jesus. It's about the fellowship, the community, and leaving better than how you walked in. Because no matter what problems you walked in with, even though you may have to face them when you walk out, you're going to have peace about it when you do. So wherever you are, I would ask you today, maybe you need to create that healthy habit of pointing to others. I also love here, and it points out to here, maybe this year you are noticing some friends falling out of your life. Maybe that concerns you. I don't know, maybe you've been there. Maybe that concerns you. Maybe you're mad at God about it. And I just want to tell you, Jesus promised us that the world will not understand the change that's in us. As a matter of fact, this story, what's really crazy, if you've ever read Acts 3, there's some crazy cool things that happens. The church grows to 5,000, and you would think, that's awesome. They're booking Peter and John for every conference. Like, they're on every network that you can find on television. Like, they've got it all lined up. You know, they got the really cool promos coming in. But as a matter of fact, they get arrested for this miracle happening, and they get thrown in jail. The beggar, as a matter of fact, the people that are around him are amazed and astonished, but they only remember what he once was instead of seeing fully exactly who he was. It took Peter and John pointing them to Jesus for them to understand it. So the one part and the one piece of information I don't see here, though, is what happened to that beggar's friends? I don't see them anymore in this story. I'm not pot-shotting the friends. I'm telling you, his friends realized they had carried him as far as they could carry him, and it was time for something new to happen in his life. So maybe God's trying to show you this season that the people he put in your life, the purpose was to carry you as far as they could carry you, and it's time to keep plowing ahead and moving forward, and they can live their best life, their blessed life, because maybe their blessing and their purpose is to carry people to the temple court. And if that lame man was walking, there was no need for him to be carried there anymore, so it was time for him to have something new in his life, to be known for something more, that is Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you have a relationship with Jesus, there are going to be friends in your life, as there are friends in mine now, that say, "You do what now? You're what? This is the same guy that, what? Hang on, what? Are you sure about that? Is this a joke? Is this what's happening?" Like that lame man walking, they were probably like, "Dude, there's no way that you, like, you're walking now? Like, what?" Like, they went down to the Stars and Bucks or whatever they call it. I know in Israel, I think it's called that. Like, they went down there, they were hanging out at the temple courts, and like, they see him as a barista, and they're like, "Whoa, hey, you're working now? Like, what happened?" Same thing happens in your life when you follow Jesus. There's something new and fresh in you. It doesn't mean that you need to be a tool to your friends. It just means you have an opportunity to show them Jesus like never before. But understand, they may have only carried you as far as they could carry you. And they still have meaning in your life and they have purpose, but maybe it's not the same one. So don't be mad at Jesus for those things happening. And last but not least, grace is visible in your praise. Grace is visible in your praise. We just sang about it. Grace is visible in your praise. What I love about this man, and where we can get stuck when we're following Jesus and we see someone who comes to be a new believer in the faith, is we expect them to go run, don't we? We expect them, "Hey, you just met Jesus, and I know you met Jesus through John 3:16, but you need to know Leviticus 7:34. You need to know, hey man, you need to know the whole book of Isaiah. You better have it memorized. You better have it done, right? Like, hey, if you really want to grow in your walk, you better know this one Bible verse." And we expect them to go run, but I see this man walks first, which blows my mind. Sometimes we got to remember that. Crawl, walk, run. That's how we roll. And if you're like me, stumble a lot and still try to keep walking. It is what it is. In verse 8, it says this: "He jumped to his feet and began to walk." Now, here's the thing. He had to start walking before something different happened. And the grace that God gave him and the grace that God gave us through his son, Jesus Christ, causes us to praise. That's exactly what happens to this man. He starts walking first. Then he goes into the temple courts. And now that he's walking, he starts jumping. And when he starts jumping, he starts praising. And here's what I want to tell you. Maybe you're somewhere in your life, you feel lame, you feel crippled, you feel like it's never going to change. And I want to tell you, if you'll just look to the cross of Jesus, you can't help but praise. If you just look and see a blood-stained cross where someone lived a life you couldn't live, lived a life I couldn't live, died the death we deserved on the cross for our sin, but rose again on the third day so that we could have heaven on earth, you can't help but praise. Because it's only by God's grace that happened. It wasn't that this lame man said, "On this day at 3:00 PM, these two dudes are going to come by, and that's the day it's going to change. That's the day it's going to be right." No, he saw God's lavish grace thrown upon him, and it helped him praise. When those around us see our praise by God's grace in our life, they can't help but change, because we saw what happens here is he walks around and he praises God. It didn't just say some, when all, that blows my mind, all the people saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. It said later that they came running in verse 9 to Solomon's colonnade to hear what Peter was about to share to him. And so I just want to say, hey, maybe you feel like you're down and out. I would encourage you to look at the bloodstained cross. Anytime I don't feel like I'm worth it, anytime I don't feel like I have value, I look to Jesus. I look at what he gave. And if nothing else in this world gives me any ounce of value, I know that in Christ my value is found. And that in him, I'm not only new, I can share him with the world. I don't have to carry the weight of the world. I can just point them to him. And so today, maybe you feel like this thing's never going to change in your life. I would ask you to look to the cross. Look to the cross. As a matter of fact, maybe that thing still has purpose in your life. Look to the cross and understand that when you have that and you see God's grace, you can't help but praise him. But if you go through the motions of praise, The world's really good at sniffing that out, aren't they? I say people are. I think kids are really good at sniffing that out. I think that's what I love about kids. They're just honest. They're just honest. I wish the world could always be that way. So Luke 7:47 says it this way: "Therefore I tell you," Jesus is talking about the woman with the alabaster jar, and the disciples are fighting about how much money could have been given to the poor. And this woman sees Jesus, sees who he is, and she says, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." My favorite part about this says this: "Whoever has been forgiven little loves little." I've been forgiven so great for the sins in my life, and so have you. There was a price that was paid that was so great for everything that we've ever done or ever will do. And if we can't help but praise by God's grace what Jesus has done for us on the cross, then the world just sees someone who loves little. And there's plenty of people who love little in the world instead of loving a lot. And I would tell you, that is what we're called to do, is love God and love others. And when we do that, we can live a life that is new. We can show the world that we are picking change, not just talking about it. We're not looking for 2 cents. Because the thing that always blew my mind is inside of this lame man, maybe there are some folks right now that this can be said of you. The change in his life, the change that he needed, literally just made sense. Not sense, but sense. Maybe that's where you are. And the change that you maybe need to make today is what Peter and John shared later in Acts 3 in verse 15. It says this: "But God raised him from the dead." We are witnesses of this. Peter says in those first few verses, hey, this isn't our will. This isn't us. This isn't anything we've done. This isn't because of us that this man is walking. This is literally because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The first thing that Peter told the man was, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And so the change that you need to make is stop changing the change that you want and accept the change that you need. Because God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, the man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. Completely healed him. Completely healed him. Not partially, not somewhat, not just for a day. Completely healed him, as you all can see. So I wonder, today, if you're watching online or wherever you are, if you're in the house, as we get to this moment, we always say a prayer to point you to Jesus. But as Peter just said, it's not the words of the prayer. It's not the works you're going to do. It's not the Bible you're going to read. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. Because here's the thing. This man was lame from birth. He understood that he had a need, and he thought it was just change. But the change that he needed was a change that was eternal by receiving Jesus as his Lord. That's where you are. But the thing is, you just got to receive it. You see, Peter and John reached out with their right hand to pick the man up, and that symbolized God's mighty authority and power in their life. As a matter of fact, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God right now, and it's because he wants you to be able to experience something new. Something that doesn't just last for 12 days, something that just don't last for a few years or last for a few moments or a picture and fade away. Something where moth can eat and destroy. He wants something for you that's eternal. And that's him as your Lord and Savior. Because the one thing we all have in common is all of us were born into sin. All of us were born like this man, lame. We are crippled by our sin. And there's really nothing we can do except receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior to have life. You see, the man didn't check a box. The man didn't do anything but receive. Made new. And when he was made new, others saw the new in him, and they became new too. So today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm asking you, what is the change that you are picking? Are you still chasing the change that you want, or will you accept and receive the change that you need? Because all of us were born into sin, but God loved us enough that he sent his son. He knew. He made a way. He saw that we could never earn it on our own. We could never do it on our own, but there had to be some way, something that had to come and set us free. And so he sent his son Jesus, and he lived the life we couldn't live, a perfect life. And he died the death we deserved for those sins, but he loved us enough that he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day and left an empty tomb so that we didn't have to wait to experience heaven and wait to experience a life and live it to the full. We could live it right now because there's a tomb that is empty for it. And so today I'm going to ask you, have you ever made that decision? Would you really ask yourself, is the change that you've been trying to make for years been about your wants? Or will you receive the change you need today? Because if you really want to experience new, it's only through Christ Jesus that you can have it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'll ask everyone to repeat after me for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time in Christ. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you lived the life I couldn't live, died the death that I deserve on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Make me new. Teach me to follow you the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or you're in this house today, if you can say today for the first time, you have not picked the change you wanted, but you've received the change you needed by confessing Jesus as Lord of your life. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever day it is, to respond. So one, two, three. If that's you right now, if you're watching online, you're going to see a hand raised. You can click that hand being raised. If you're watching on Facebook, comment. If you're listening to us on a podcast, comment. We have people who want to celebrate with you. We have people who want to walk with you through this season, because as you start this season of new, of being eternally changed, you're going to have God's people around you who want to walk with you step by step. So if that's you today, I'm going to ask you, would you respond? Don't let today go by without responding. I know it can be weird. I know it can be a change that can be fearful, but I'm telling you, don't be afraid. You have people who are walking with you step by step, but more importantly, you have a Savior who loves you enough that he will never leave you and never forsake you. And for everyone else, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to stand to worship, and we're going to have an awesome time to show God's grace to everyone, because we have a holy habit of gathering together because we know the change we've needed has always been Jesus. So, dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to lift your name high. I pray that in this moment that your grace would be seen like never before. And when others see you, Jesus, they would see you. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son to do what we can never do, to allow us to live the life that we never deserve, to have a life that's full of peace, a life where we're no longer crippled by ourselves, crippled by our sins, one where we can be set free and walk in freedom. Thank you for that, Jesus. I pray that in this moment as we worship, Jesus, your grace would be seen like never before. And I pray that we wouldn't hold back because we have been made new. Just like this man who couldn't walk was finally able to walk, Jesus, that is the excitement and the grace that everyone should see when we profess, confess, and lift your name as we worship. So today, Jesus, I pray that we would hold nothing back. I pray that we would lift our hands, that we would lift your name, and that everything that we do would point to you. I pray that every divine appointment that you put in front of us today, that we would see the need, and that we would know that it's not up to us to meet it, that you will meet it. It's just up to us to be obedient, to point people to you through it. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing with us. Jesus, you are near. of God surrounding me, casting out all fear. The hand that holds the heavens is the mighty hand that says, the voice that calms the storming seas is calling me by name. I'm singing in the victory of the cross, resting in the shadow of your redeeming love. I'm standing on the promise of a new life, 'cause I am yours forever. Jesus, you are mine. Oh, Jesus, you are mine. Yes, I remember Calvary, when you took my place. I'm singing in the victory of the cross, resting in the shadow of your redeeming love, standing on the promise of a new life. Promise. promise of new life, 'cause I am yours forever. And Jesus, you are mine. Lord Jesus, you are mine.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, I'm so glad that we get to sing in the victory. How about you? There's so much stuff this world throws at us, so many things that we can get caught up in, so many times that we can be down. But I'm thankful we have a Savior that died, that made a way for us so that every day is a new day. Lamentations 3 talks about His mercies are new every morning. When a fresh day starts, we know that we are new in Him. So no matter what the enemy tries to throw our way, we've got something that's stronger. We get to sing in the victory. So as we get to wrap up here, you know we're going to lock arms. I know I've been praying a lot today, but I believe in some prayer. So get up in this thing. Everybody be locking up arms. It's a warm day. It don't matter. You can go. Do it. Go ahead. Y'all can go ahead. Come on. We do it. We do it as a family. Look at everybody. Look at this. This is what I love. This family right here. I love it. All right. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. I know that so many times we can get caught in and the holy habit and want you to mail in the miracle, Jesus. And we want to see the lame man healed every time. But Jesus, we know it's coming. We know that we get to be a part of a miracle. When we think that we just want to see that in our lives, let us be reminded of what you have done inside of our life. You made us new. You provided a way for us when there was no way that we could do on our own, that you, Jesus, are our Lord and Savior. And God, whatever comes our way, you have allowed us to overcome it. So whatever we're called in, Jesus, maybe we're praying for something we're not seeing and we're frustrated. I pray that you would allow us to see that there are people around us that will walk with us in that season. Maybe the finances aren't clearing up or the changes physically aren't happening that we want to see. Jesus, let us see that you have surrounded us by such a great cloud of witnesses. We have people in this church that want to walk with us season by season that know that you are the center, Jesus, and everything that we do points to you. So no matter what we walk through, Jesus, we're never alone. So God, let us continue to walk in to take next steps in you. No matter what our resolution is, Jesus, I pray that whatever next step you've called us to do, that we would take it closer to you. It might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen next month. It might not happen 12 months from now. But Jesus, as we take that next step, there's going to be celebration. There's going to be praise. There's going to be worship. Whenever that happens, Jesus, I pray that we would develop the holy habit to seek you, to see what it is. That over this next few years, months, whatever it looks like, that we would grow closer to you. Because when that happens, Jesus, everything else falls into place. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your church. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to do this. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. Come hang out with us next week. We continue our series new. We may or may not have tattoos. If you want to, come hang out. We can see what happens. Love you guys. See you next week.